Shabbat Shalom. This week's parasha, Shoftim, contains one of the most recognizable lines in the Torah. Tzedek, tzedek tirdof. Justice, justice shall you pursue. This statement is made powerful by repetition of the word tzedek. But this repetition is also a bit of a mystery. Perhaps it's a poetic device to emphasize the importance of the call to justice. This would certainly align with our contemporary reform values. But the statement's meaning is ambiguous to the point that a whole section in the Talmud is dedicated to debating it. Reish Lakish contends that tzedek tzedek tirdof refers to the possibility of a fraudulent trial, which a court must take extra caution to avoid. Rav Ashi follows an earlier teaching suggesting that the first tzedek speaks to upholding justice when imposing a judgment, while the second tzedek is about applying justice to a compromise. But it is this Hasidic understanding that speaks to me the most. Tzedek, tzedek tirdof, justice, justice shall you pursue, refers to the manner in which we seek justice. Rabbi Simcha Bonham taught, betzedek tirdof, tzedek, pursue justice with justice. Gam haredifa tzricha liot betzedek. The pursuit of justice itself must also be done with justice and not with falsehood. In other words, it is not enough to pursue justice. Every action taken to achieve that justice must be done in a just and righteous manner. On the other hand, if our pursuit of even the most righteous cause leads us to perpetrate injustice along the way, the result cannot be true justice. The ends do not justify the means. So what qualifies as just justice? Our parsha offers many examples. Judgment must be impartial. No one may be punished without due process. At least two witnesses must give testimony before a court can condemn a person. If a case is unresolved, it goes to a higher court, and no one may subvert or debase the rule of law. A compelling example of these principles is the case of John Adams and the Boston Massacre. John Adams was an exemplary patriot. He was instrumental in the movement to repeal the Stamp Act. He authored a critical document opposing taxation without representation. He served in the Continental Congress and signed the Declaration of Independence. And in the midst of all this fervent revolutionary activity, a tragedy occurred in his hometown. On March 5, 1770, British soldiers fired on a crowd in a public square, killing 5 civilians and injuring several others. 8 soldiers were indicted for murder. And because their cause was deeply unpopular, they couldn't find a lawyer willing to represent them in court. When no one else would, John Adams stepped up. John Adams, the quintessential American patriot. Why would Adams agree to defend in court the exact cause he was fighting against? Why? Because he believed in the inviolable right to a fair trial for everyone. And he was determined to uphold the law for the sake of all. Adams exemplifies the principle of justice pursued justly. As for unjust justice, it is far too easy to find examples. One that I find most distressing is the proliferation of jailing as punishment for the poor and the marginal. The Vera Institute of Justice has reported that 3 out of 5 people held in local jails are there awaiting trial. Our nation, which claims that a person is innocent until proven guilty, jails millions of innocent Americans every year. The majority of these individuals are detained for nonviolent misdemeanors like public intoxication, shoplifting, and even unpaid parking tickets. The majority of these individuals are impoverished, homeless, or suffering from mental illness or addiction. And they end up in jail because they are unable to pay tickets, fines, and fees, while countless violent offenders are released because they are able to make bail. Many suffer immense and sometimes irreversible harm from being jailed. It can lead to lost jobs, lost homes, and even lost child custody. How is this justice? These de facto debtors' prisons reveal the promise of equal protection under the law as a farce. And so we find just one of many potent examples of a justice system that perpetrates great injustice, destabilizes its own authority, and renders certain groups powerful and others powerless. America was founded by people like John Adams, people who were wary of the tyranny of power, and so they sought to limit it. And we find a source for this position right here in Parashat Shoftim. If you choose to set a king over yourself, the Torah says, you are free to do so. But this king will not be allowed to make war, conduct diplomacy, levy taxes, or exercise any ritual authority. Okay, so what does a king do? Sits with the Torah, v'karavo kol yemei chayav, and reads it every day of their life, learning to revere God and faithfully observe the law. A leader must be levilti rum levavo meichav ulevilti sur min hamitzvah, above no one and never exempt from the law. The Torah is clear. Justice is only justice when it applies to everyone equally. So how do we transform tzedek tzedek tirdof from an idea to a reality? I can't tell you what to do. The avenues we take to pursue justice will be different for each of us. But there are elemental responsibilities we all share. We must not desist from pursuing justice, and we must implement it with fair judgment, holding no one, starting with ourselves, above our laws or above our fellow human beings. And if this may feel like a bit too much right now, I feel that too. And so I wonder, and you may ask, where do we begin? How can we disarm the institutions of tyranny? How do we demolish the strongholds of injustice? The Mishnah offers this galvanizing charge. Lo alecha hamlacha ligmor. It is not up to you, it's not on you alone to complete the work. Vilo ata ben chorin lehibatel mimena. But you are not free to desist from it. And so with this teaching, our sages recognized that the surest path to success is to move the dial little by little. Each of us doing our part, never giving up, and above all, holding fast to our visions. When Michelangelo set out to sculpt David, he began with an immovable and indifferent tower of marble weighing well over 6 tons. It took more than 2 years of chipping away, tiny bit by tiny bit. But he never lost sight of his vision, and he ultimately made it a reality. Today is Rosh Chodesh Elul, the month in which we prepare for the new year, the time we devote to teshuvah, repentance, return, the effort to be our very best selves. This is a time to search ourselves and begin to articulate our unique vision for tzedek, so that we can enter this next year, 5781, prepared to chip away at those seemingly immovable structures of injustice and follow paths of righteousness and peace. Ken Yehi Ratzon, may this be God's will.